Okay, we're going to begin tonight on Daf Chof Zayin. Top of the page says the two dots term called Shalayin, referencing that were mafresh the chavis and it turned out to be vinegar. So we said it's a suffix, and therefore we have to be trum v'yachs v'yachrum. Okay, now in the previous parak we had a machlekes tanon. Rebbe said, I think it was, does he say which page it was? It was 25b, Chaf Hei Amud Beis. If you want to go back to look at Chaf Hei Amud Beis, maybe it's worthwhile to turn your pages back to Chaf Hei Amud Beis. You will see, it says over there, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel quotes his father, Tarmin Beima Yain Al Chemetz, Avaloy Min HaChemetz Al Yain, Avav Atarm Truma Asi Truma. That regardless of which way you do it, if you do it, if you're Iver and you're Mafresh, and how Ra La Yofa, you know, if he considers Chaymas Al Yain, Ra La Yofa, it's good. And Rebbe says, no, Yain V'Chaymas Shnei Minim, and Tom L'Marashim Yizalza, you can't do either one. Then the Gemara said over there, Rebbe Shom and Levi said that it's Mestava, that Rebbe would be Maida, that it's a Din D'Oraisa. That min ha-Torah, it actually is good, right? That they are really one min. It's just a din d'rabbanan. That's all the Gemara said over there. So the main thing to remember is we had the previous parak, we had a machlokes between, we'll just quote his father, Rabbi Yossi, and Rebbe, whether it's shnei minim or it's min achas. Our Mishnah clearly says that if it became chaimetz, if you knew it became chaimetz before you were kari shem truma, then it's ein truma se truma. It's only when it's a suffix that it's truma v'yachs v'yachrum. So whose shita is that going like? Clearly going like Rebbe, right? Our Mishnah is clearly like Rebbe, not like Rebbe. So Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Yechon halacha k'divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yaakov Paskin, like Rebbe. Rabbi Chiya b'shem Rabbi Yechonon, he said, no, he said, de Rebbe he. That our Mishnah is coming out like Rebbe. But the halacha is not like Rebbe. It doesn't say that here, but the English does. The halacha, though, follows the opinion of Yishmael Rabbi Yais. Right? So we have a machlaikas between Rabbi Yaakov Baruch b'shem Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Chiya b'shem Rabbi Yechonon. The question, what did he say? Did he paskin like him? Or did he say, no, it's like Rebbe, our Mishnah, but we don't paskin like him. We paskin, it's really Menachas. So now, he had the following question. Didn't Rabbi Yechonon say already that the halacha is like Rabbi against Chaveiro? Now, over there in the previous parak on Chav Hayom Beis, it was only Rishon Rabbi Yossi. So we have only one person. So it's clear that we're going to pass in like Rabbi against Rabbi Shom Rabbi Yossi. So we have a double question here. So caution number one, if you hold like Rabbi Yaakov, who said that Rabbi Yaakov didn't pass in halacha to Rabbi, it wasn't necessary for him to say that. We know that already from his klal. He has a klal, halacha k'rebi k'mechaveirai, so there was no need. And according to the other mandiyama, Reb Chia, we have a kasha. What do you mean you're not passing like Rebbe? That's Seisar Rebbe Yechonon's own rule, that we always pass like Rebbe, right? So that's so the Gemara says, on Rebbe Yechonon, I feel like it's Rebbe Yitzchak, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. What's more, we paskin like Rebbe, even if it's against the Gadol HaDor. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon. Okay. So so we have two questions. So we're gonna answer these questions. On Malay, so Rabba said, even though the halacha normally follows Rebbe, but over here there was a swara to say that we would not paskin like Rebbe. Why? Begin the Tony Le Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi b'Shem Aviv. Since Rabbi Shmuel was quoting his father, V'Amar Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, another rule, that when you have Rabbi Yossi v'chavei Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi v'chavei Rav, that it's just like we have a rule about halacha k'Rabbi v'chavei Rav, we have also that same rule by Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, that we paskin like him against his friends. So it could be that since Rabbi Shmuel was quoting his father, Rabbi Yossi, then maybe we would paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So that's why he had to go out of his way to say explicitly halacha k'Rebbe. So
we had a Gemara in the Bavli somewhere that Rebbe held in very high esteem the words of Rabbi Yossi. I think he said it was kavanah.
So you shouldn't think to say here too. The Shalom is very wordy here, but basically that's all it's saying. Now this is automatically going to answer the second question also, right? We had two questions. Question number one, why did we say halacha k'Rebbe? The answer is because we needed to lafuke halacha k'Rebbe Yossi. What was the other one's question? The other one's question was, the other question we asked was, how he said, the Rebbe he, but we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, how could he say that when Rabbi Yochanan says halacha is like Rebbe? The answer is because his bar plukta is not a regular bar plukta, it's Rabbi Yossi. And there are examples where we will pass the link of missing. That's basically all it is. Okay, there's big footnotes here, but it's very simple. You don't have to go off on these big pull them over here. It's quite simple.
So how do we end? What's do we say
the halachas
like Rebbe?
No, we have machlokes. You want to know how we paskin? I didn't look up
how we didn't come to a conclusion.
I didn't look at. No, we never come to a conclusion.
Okay.
I didn't look it up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If you go through 13, you'll get your answer. It's very long.
He doesn't give you the psak. 13 doesn't give you the psak.
He explains to you the different sides.
He gives you all kinds of pilpulim. It's totally confusing. 13.
Wow.
Very, very confusing. I will give you an example of when I read 13 originally, I thought it was Mamash Talbot Var Mishnah. Because it says over here in the brackets, take a look at the brackets left hand column. I want to take a minute just to say this, even though the brackets on 27A2, third paragraph down on the left, there's a bracket.
Yeah.
From this Gemara it emerges. The ruling of our mission is based on Rebbe's view. Wine and vinegar are regarded as distinct species. One would therefore expect the halacha to be that even if a person intentionally designated vinegar as truma for wine, the designation should be invalid. However, the Mishnah deals specifically with a case in which the designated portion was later found to be vinegar. That's the case of the Mishnah. It was nimtzeis, right? But that implies, listen to this implication that he writes here, implying that an intentional designation of vinegar for wine would be valid after the fact.
Like
I read that line, I said, boy, that's wrong. It's totally wrong. The Mishnah says clearly that if you knew for sure that it was vinegar before you were Kari Shem Truma, it says explicitly in the Mishnah that it's not Truma. What are you talking about?
It doesn't follow logically.
And it doesn't follow logically either. So I was very upset when I read this. You could put it as number 65. It's my Mishnah. They wrote something against the Mishnah. But then, I read to the end. There's a shita of Tysus. Tysus holds that the whole pshat in our Mishnah, it's a din in toes. That the pshat is because I wanted to be mafresh wine, and it ended up being chaimetz, makes the hafrosh a hafrosh betos. This is not what I wanted to be mafresh. Right? But if I didn't amaze it, then b'di'evet it would be good. That's where he's coming from over here. That's another svar which we never discussed. And then after he quotes this mahalach, then he quotes the mahalach of the Rash on the second column where he discusses it the way we learned it. We learned it pashtas. We learned it pashtas. That has nothing to do with toast. It has to do with the fact that it's too minim and it can't be used. That's the simple mahalach. But I guess there's a Tosfos in Yavama someplace, 89a, that learns otherwise. But I'm just trying to keep you away from the confusion. Okay.
Boy, am I confused now.
Okay, good. All right, so now we're going to say a couple of funny things about halakha, because we set up rules about halakha karev mechaveirai, we said halakha karev mechaveirai. So now we're going to say more of these rules about who we paskin like, right? My Rebbe is bigger than your Rebbe. Reb Ze'era, Reb Yaakov, Ra'idi, B'Shem, Reb Yechonon. Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, if you have a machlokes between those two, halakha Reb Shimon. That's a general rule. Reb Meir always gets, you know, Reb Meir is considered, I think, shmuti, is that the language?
Yes.
I think they say something like that. Halakha Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, halakha Reb Yehuda. So, if A is great, if B is greater than A, and C is greater than B, then C is surely greater than A. So, Ein Tzarich Lomar, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda, right? That stands logical. That's very logical.
But it's because of greatness? It's not necessarily greatness.
I use that word greater than in terms of just a mathematical formula. It's not. There may be another svar. You have another svar besides.
No, I don't have a svar, but I know that Rabbi Meir says that Rabbi Meir was.
He was able to retire. A chazer with 60 svaras.
Right, and that's what the problem, because he had an argument for yes and an argument for no, and then you walked away and you said, oh, so now I'm confused. That's why Halacha was like Rabbi Shimon, but not because he was any. Less, I think, than Madrid.
Right, absolutely.
And yeah. Rabbi Yehuda is always quoted in the Bavli as either Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav or Rabbi Amar Shmuel. So he learned under both.
Both those quote statements you said are on the Amar Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
Here we're talking about the Tana Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
Okay.
So Rabbah, Reb Yaakov Bar Idi B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov, we have another statement which is very similar. But there's a little knesh which is different. Reb Meir v'Reb Shimon halakha Reb Shimon. Reb Meir v'Reb Yehuda halakha Reb Yehuda. Ein Tzarich Lomar Reb Meir v'Reb Yehuda v'Reb Shimon. If you had a three-way machlokes between all three of them, halakha Reb Yehuda. Now that Ein Tzarich Lomar is not so simple, right? Because there we're saying so. If you have Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, halakha Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, halakha Reb Yehuda. Now, all three of them come together. So now, you had Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda all together. So now, you could, for sure, we're not going to pass them like Reb Meir. That's for sure not. Because all of them are greater than him. But Reb Shimon, maybe because Reb Shimon against Reb Meir, the halakha will be like Reb Shimon. So in a three-way fight, so to speak, maybe the middle guy gets it. I don't know. Look how it's also Ein Tzarich Lomar, but it wouldn't be as simple Ein Tzarich Lomar, I guess. That's the question over here.
You ever learned philosophy?
I learned in Scranton. Does that answer your question?
Called the undistributed middle. Did you ever hear that?
The undisputed?
Undistributed middle.
The undistributed middle?
Yeah. If whales are mammals and people are mammals, whales are people. See, that's
right.
This.
Right, that's very similar.
It's called the undistributed middle in philosophy.
Okay. It says we only study philosophy with Manshalo Yom Velo Laila.
City College.
I know, you only went Ben Ashmashas. Okay. Umino Ashama.
Prerequisite.
27A3. And from this latter ruling of Rabbi Yonasan, it goes without saying Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halachic Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not sure what exactly it's trying to say over here. I don't know what it meant.
What he's saying is
I don't understand what he wants to say over here.
Even though it doesn't mention Rabbi Yehuda and the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, it's still Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon.
So you see, in other words, even though he doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as a separate category, we can derive that from the statement. Okay, very good. If it's a suffix, then you do it again. So the Gemara says, so what do you do with the suffix truma? You have to give them both to Kohen. We talked about this yesterday. I told you the Gemara is going to deal with it.
Yeah.
That he gives them both to the Kohen. Now, it's not, the Kohen doesn't get two portions for free. HaKohen, Noisin, like the Mayachas, he has to pay for one of them. Which one does he pay for? Does he pay for the larger portion, which is the first one, or the katana, which is the second one? So Gemara, what's the rule? What do we say? Remember? We said that if he had both these trumas that your mafresh fell into chulin together, that it makes it the mua, but how much is it medame? Like the smaller one, because the smaller one is the smaller share is the only one that you know bavadai that is truma. So that's how much you need one part in 100 to be mavatal at 100 to 1 to be mavatal the smaller portion. But the larger portion may not be truma, so therefore that's a suffix, and since it's a suffix, then we go bust a rove. That's what we said yesterday, okay? So from that you learn, and from that we learn, so tomorrow, turn the page, we're called Zion on the base. Obviously, the Kohen being Hamosim Mechavel of Haraya, and you can't prove to me, Kohen, that the larger number was Truma, so therefore you have to pay for the larger amount. Stands to reason. I know I have to give you Truma. How much do I know for sure I have to give you? The Demek Tana, the Demek Dola, I don't know if I have to, so therefore he pays for the Demek Dola.
The Gedola.
Isn't what?
The first truma was not fit, right? It wasn't.
It was.
It became unfit.
It was mara, yeah.
Right. So it's worthless.
Shamsi asked that question yesterday, kind of. He was talking about. Shamsi asked that question. We had a question yesterday from Shamsi, and the question was, how come the Gemara is talking about, the Mishnah talks about how. You will not have to pay a chomesh if you ate it because it's a suffix. So Shamsi asked, what do you mean you have to not pay a chomesh? You shouldn't have to pay for anything. Because it became bitter, and now you ate it, you shouldn't be chayv anything because it's nothing. It's really not an eichel. Right? That was the question he asked. It's a very good question.
It's a similar kind of question.
Very similar question. So... You have to say something like this. You have to say that since it had a shem truma originally before it became bitter, if it does become bitter, we don't look at that bitterness as if it's completely not roi lachila b'chalal, but adiyat chak, even you're going to say chak gadol, whatever, it's achila adiyat chak, it's shema achila, to the extent that you're going to be high for Achilas Truma.
So we're saying that the Kohen gets one as a Matana, the other he has to pay for.
That's correct.
Right? So, but right. Again, my question is still the same. If he's going to pay for the smaller one,
the smaller one is worth more because that's the one that's really edible.
Right.
The larger one is not so edible, that's the one he's going to have to pay for. I guess he's not going to have to pay that much because who's going
to... Right, but then what? So he should only have to... He should pay for the least valuable one.
Which is the larger one.
Right,
that's what he's paying for, the larger one.
Yeah.
He's paying for the larger one.
No.
He's saying good. He's saying very good. The owner, from the owner's perspective, he wants to get more money, right? The assumption here is that they're both worth... relatively the same amount per pound. That's what's going on in the Mishnah, right? And so that we're saying the Kohen pays the larger amount because but he's right. The second one is edible. The first one was not edible now, so it's worth much, much less than the second one. So therefore, I want to get paid for the second one.
Which is the more expensive?
The one that's edible.
The second one.
The first one you were mafresh was bitter like anything, right? Let's forget about the case of the bitterness. Let's take the case of the wine and the vinegar. Let's take that case, right? So he was mafresh the wine. Turns out it was vinegar. We don't know when it became vinegar. Okay. Truma, yachzaviyachom. What is going to be chaser in term? Wine, right? He's not going to take vinegar.
A smaller amount, but it's still wine.
So he's going to take wine. So it's less wine. So it's, and we're saying, how much less is it? It's instead of being 1/50th of 50, it's 1/50th of 49. That it's the ganze zach, 1% less, 2% less. Big deal. But as far as value is concerned, vinegar is cheap, right? This is wine is worth much more. So the Masech Havel Harayah, it should be the other way around. He's absolutely right. Bon kasha. You have to say, that after he was mafresh the wine, it turned to vinegar. That's the case. Yeah, that's what you have to say. Okay. Very good. On the ball, 27B, the Mishnah. Hashutim shutam uzer chazet. Now we had this Mishnah before. We're going to go through it quickly. That if you have partners. And they were mafresh one after the other. So in other words, we didn't confer with one another, right? Let's say we're shutfim in 50 saw, and I shutf number one take off one saw, which is 1/50th of the whole, which would be enough for both of our portions, and then you go and you take off one saw, which is also enough for both portions. So what's the din? So Rabbi Akiva says what truma shnehen truma, they're both truma. In other words, I was mafresh for my part, and you were mafresh for your part. So your saw is, both of our saws are half truma. Half of my saw is, it's not going to be, well, what is it? Is it chulin? It's tevel, I guess.
What is
the half? My saw is for sure truma, because that's I own half. The other guy, the other shutuf, half of his saw is truma for his half. What about the other half of what they were mafresh?
But you don't know what's what, so therefore you got to get rid of the whole thing.
In other words, let's suppose it's for sure chulin, right? It's not tevel. It's chulin. What?
It's dimur.
Yeah. Right? It's mixed up, so you're going to have to be mafresh. You'll have to give it to a kohen, because no one else can eat it.
And you can sell it to him.
He has to pay.
There's not enough coming in between Rekiva and Chacham.
Sell it to him.
It's no enough. I mean, one second. I haven't read the Chacham yet. Chacham Amar Mim Trumas Rishon Truma. But the first one's Truma is Truma, means the whole saw is Truma. And the second one's Hafrash is nothing. He was Mafresh Min Haptor Al Haptor.
And what is it?
It's nothing. It remains Chulin. It was already Masukin by the first guy.
It's a big difference, right?
Rabbi Yosi Omer, he says, Im Kashir, and Trumas Hasheni Truma. That it depends. If I took off the whole saw, so then the second one is no good. If I took off a half a saw, then right. What is he saying over here? Let's see number eight.
How much is the second one taken off?
But you don't know what the shear is.
How much is the first?
Who doesn't agree with that?
It says that the Mishnah does not explain what Rabbi Yossi means when he refers to an appropriate amount. The Gemara will clarify this. I guess we'll wait for the Gemara to explain him. But you're right, it doesn't seem to make much sense, right? Okay. Next page. When is this true, referring back to Rabbi Akiva, that if I take truma of one partner, it's ineffective for the other partner's share, b'shelo diber, where they did not speak to each other. I did not receive explicit permission to separate truma on behalf of the partner's share. I merely presumed his partner's consent. A presumption that Rabbi Akiva deems unwarranted, right? So if I make assumptions that you're going to be masking to my hafrasha, it's not good. Avol, now look, be careful with the way he had translated this line here. Look at the way he translates it. Avol hirsha es ben beso, os avdo, os sukhaso litrom. If, however, you authorized, quote, his partner, see the way it's not, doesn't say shutofo in the Mishnah. What he's doing here is he's reading it, Avol hirsha, but if he gave permission to his partner, or as ben beso, it's a real hard read, right? Or the member of his household, or his slave, or his maidservant, then trumas and truma, it is good truma. Of course, the question is going to be, how does that work?
Oh, hirsha, he means the partner.
The partner, correct. Oh. Correct. It's interesting translation.
It is.
So 12, this is worthwhile seeing inside a little bit here. Right, so if a crop owner explicitly gave permission to his household attendant, his slave, his maidservant to separate from his produce, and certainly if he had a partner whom he gave permission, their designation is effective. Okay, thus, in a case where a partner receives actual permission, Rabbi Akiva agrees that it's going to be fully valid the first hafrasha. The law that one can take meiser with someone else's permission is actually mefurish in the first Mishnah of the Masechta. It says over there that if a guy takes off truma, then it's not truma. And obviously, if it's Yisrael, it is good truma, which means the Mishnah has already told us that somebody can take truma for someone else, right? The implication of that ruling is that a Jew can indeed separate truma from another's produce. However, were it for that Mishnah alone, you might have thought only an individual who the owner instructs to separate the truma is good. In other words, I told him explicitly. But if you went and you took it on your own, right? Our Mishnah teaches us a broader rule. One can separate truma from another's produce even if the owner merely allows him to do so. For instance, he says, if you wish, you may tithe my produce. Because the mere expression of consent suffices to establish him as the owner's agent. So that's an interesting thing to understand. Okay, Bitel, if you mavatel the shlichas, so in other words, you just say you can announce, I mavatel my shlich. And Machal told me if he did that before he took off the truma, so then in truma the truma. Later when he's mafresh the truma, he's doing it without my rishus. He's no longer my shlich. If he did it after he already did the Maaseh HaFrasha, then obviously Shumaseh Truma, because at the time of the HaFrasha, he was my Shliach.
Why would we think that it's a HaFrasha?
Right. I don't think there's a Havamina, except maybe because...
It's a simple
din, you're right. But maybe the fact that in my mind I didn't want him to do it, so maybe it's not a S'chus. I don't know what Havamina is. If you're my worker, even though I'm working on your field, I can't take off truma. These are the people who tread on the grapes. That means they stamp on the grapes. Like you remember in the Isle of Lucy where she was stamping on the grapes. Anyway, so what they have is they have the people start this like three stages. He talks about it in the bottom of the three stages. But the first stage is you put the grapes on the top of a board, people step on it, and some of the grape juice starts to come out of the grapes. So those people can take without permission. Why? The Mishnah says why. Shehem mitamin es hagas, because the owners, that is to say the balbatim, are all amaratzim, and they are mitame b'maga, and since they're mitame b'maga, they're going to stay away from the vat until there's a hafrasha at the very beginning of the squeezing process, and that's what they're doing at the top before we get into it. So there'll be mafresh truma batara. So that the Baal Batim are masking to. I'd come today.
Sorry, I didn't get
that was actually a real fight.
A lot of separate